We absolutely love her and miss her, but we want to encourage her, right? We want to encourage her to continue to pursue Christ. And that's what it's all about, right? Yeah. Amen. So as you can tell, I am not Pastor Dawn. Woo! For those of you who don't know me, my name is Aurelia Anderson, women's ministry pastor here at Lighthouse, lay pastor here at Lighthouse. And I will be bringing the message for you today, trying a few different things, so we'll see how it goes. But if we can all just bow our heads in prayer. Holy God, awesome God, amazing God, we say thank you. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for helping us walk the walk that you have laid before us. Father, we know that you came in flesh so that we could thrive in your name. Be with us in this moment where we will hear the preached word. Holy Spirit, take absolute control. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So there's this phenomenon of branding. I don't know if anyone has heard of the movement of branding. Everything has got to have an identity. Every business has to have an identity, and it's called branding. There's a market for branding experts. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm sure your company, especially if you're in a Fortune 500 company, I'm sure at some point HR has told you, that's not part of the brand, right? So I'm going to display a few images and just see if you can identify them. What? You might not know. Next. Okay. What is it? What'd you say? Nike. Okay. What's McDonald's? I'm loving it. All right. Which one is this? Shell? Okay. All right, next. Okay, so who remembers this apple? Yeah. Now we have this apple. Okay. Next. All right. Top brands, this is per state. Some of these, they have their names attached. But there are some that just by the mere picture and image, we know the company. And you'll see sometimes a little R in a circle or a little TM in a circle, trademarked, registered, meaning this is their brand. No one else can have this image to represent their brand, right? A hospital that will remain nameless went through a branding change. They hired a brand expert to give them a new identity because the old identity wasn't working for them in the marketplace anymore, right? So they hired this brand expert, kind of, do a comparison of the other hospitals in our region, and they came up with a new logo, a new color, and a new name. And even this, of all those three things, they came up with a new tagline. I won't mention what it is, because I'm sure you'll know what it is, but as a former employee there, going through the process of the changing of the brand, I was a little disturbed because I like the old identity, right? But the point is they spent a lot of resources to change their identity and to make sure that all the hospitals in their affiliation, in their network, had the same brand identity. They spent lots of money to make sure they had the same brand identity. And the CEO said, so people know who we are and what we're about. guess what? We, in Christendom, have a brand. And our brand is the love brand. If you all have your Bibles, please bring them out. If you need a Bible, raise your hand, and our ushers will be glad to give you some. We have three in the back that need Bible. If we can turn to John 13, 31. We'll read from the NIV version. This is one of the Gospels, the very last in the sequence, John. Chapter 13, we won't read all of it. The joke is usually when I get up to preach, we're usually out in like 20 minutes. So, I mean, I don't know about today, but we want to be obedient to what God has said. So John chapter 13, verse 31. Does it give you context? This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, the Last Supper, okay? When he was gone, Judas Iscariot, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once." Verse 33, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot go. A new command I give you. A new command I give you. Love one another." This is to the disciples, his group, my group, that group, his group. "Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." The brand? "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going? You're right here in front of us. Where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows, Peter, you will deny me three times." The love brand. Jesus is at his last meal with his followers, his friends, the ones who he says that I will lay down my life for you. His last meal, he has just been betrayed by one of his followers, and now he's here with the 11. Anguish must be in him. He has just washed their feet. This is all context. Read it this week. He's just washed their feet, signifying that he's really there to serve them. That even though you call me master, you call me rabbi, I've been really here to serve you. And then he tells them, "I'm going to give you a new commandment. You've heard all these commandments before through your upbringing. I even gave you a commandment that to love Father, love yourself, and love neighbor. But I'm going to give you a new commandment. And that new commandment will let everybody know that you belong to me and that my message is the only message that I've been sent here to tell you." The love brand. Next slide, please. The book of John was written so that people would have knowledge of God. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Each one very distinct in their message. But the book of John is very different. If you ever can do an analysis of all four Gospels, please do so. The book of John, in it, you'll read over and over, so that they may know, so that I know, so that you know. I know me. The Father knows me. You don't know me. So it's talking about knowledge. Why is it talking about knowledge? Because his audience is all about Moses and the law. They're Jewish, hardcore Jews. They're waiting for the Messiah so much so that they can't recognize that the Messiah has already come. So he wants them to know. He wants them to know God. And if you have knowledge of God, Yahweh, I am, if you have true knowledge of who God is, then that knowledge will lead you to a life lived with God. So in this knowledge that you know him, Jesus, you will then follow him. And if you follow him, right, greater works than these that you've seen me do, you can do also. Amen? Next slide. So then, the book of John not only talks about knowledge of God, but Jesus talks about love a whole lot, just as much about knowledge. In the Gospels, power is mentioned 67 times. Just in the book of John alone, love is talked about 37 times. Jesus' whole point was about love. Christ's parting words to his friends was about love. So what is it about this love brand that just is so important? Next slide. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. He is not talking about the person on the side of the road. Not even talking about love for God the Father. But he's talking about love for each other. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love me and love one another. Next slide, please. So let's learn a little bit about the love brand. Excuse me. Next slide. So the book of John shows us that the Father created the brand, the Son established the brand, and the Holy Spirit carries out the brand, right? Next slide. So God loved us so much that he created the world. He put chaos into order. Genesis chapter 1. Everything was chaotic, all the elements, but he put the cosmos in order. God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. And so the Son established the brand. Next slide. John 17:11. I'll read it for you. Jesus says, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. This is his prayer to God. Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be as one, as we are one. John 15:15, very familiar passage. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Jesus established this brand. As he's praying to the Father, he says, I pray that they are one as we are one. Jesus wants us to be like him. So if he's saying, Father, you and I are one together, I want them to have that same unity amongst each other. Like me and my disciples, we are friends. I lay my life down for them. I want everyone to know what that friendship together means. Jesus established the brand to love one another. Next slide. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power and the authority to carry out love. The fruit of the Spirit, part of that is love, right? Next slide. So what's the point in being known as a disciple of Jesus Christ? So that people will see and glorify God. So this is where I'm going to push some buttons. Okay. When we think of love as believers, we think of, oh, of course I'm going to do a great charity work. I'm going to send United Way some money. Of course. Because I have so much to give, and I'm going to love my neighbor, right? We're going to love, right? We're going to do what Jesus did. And we know that in the book of John, Jesus showed us so many times when he loved the neighbor, right? John chapter 4. Can you make sure Amanda's mic is on and mine is off?
Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to drink water or draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is, what you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place that people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know, or you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
How will you be known? Of course. Love our neighbor. Of course. We've been so transformed that of course we're going to love that stranger that we pass by on the road. Of course. Of course. But how much more difficult is it to really give of ourselves for that uncle that we see every dinner who annoys the crap out of us, right? Well, okay, I married him, so I gotta stick with him. I see you every day, but I don't have to like you, and I don't have to be nice to you. How much more challenging is that? The child with a learning disability, developmentally delayed. Like, oh, God, why did you have to give me this type of child? Why couldn't my child be, like, perfect? That's a little harder, right? It's easy to love people we won't see and interact with every day. But the one we have to sit next to in church, even when it's hot and it's cramped and we're like, can they please get some new seats? Can they please get a bigger building? Those are the people that he's like, you've gotta love them. You have to go through the tough stuff with them for my glory so that people will know that I'm real. So that they're like, wait a minute, they don't really have much money, but yet I don't see them arguing and bickering like I see my boss and his wife arguing and bickering all the time, and they have everything. What's different about them? Oh, well, just because, you know, they don't have all the money in the world, they are rich in spirit, right? So they can see that even though they're humble, they act like they're royalty. Like, what is that? Because they've been infused with the spirit of the true and living God. And that's how we have the love, we have the love brand, right? I've been like, this has been gnawing on me all morning, and so I have to add it in there. But what happens when the God that we say we love and the God that we serve, we feel doesn't love us back? John chapter 11, you see the story of Lazarus, Jesus' friend. Mary and Martha, they have been calling for Jesus to come and see about their brother, his friend, whom he says he loves. He doesn't come. Yet he wants him to die so that God can be glorified? Like, what is that? You're going to put us and our family through this anguish, and you say you're God. You say that you are from the one above. He is the one that sent you here, but yet you can't even see about your friend. And you let him die. Not just die, but be dead. And when he comes, he's wrought with so much anguish because of their distress. How is it for us? Who we're like, God, we love you, we're serving you, and you're not showing that you love us. I've got some dead, stinky situations in my life that I have asked you, begged, and pleaded for you to change, and you have not come. You said I'm your friend, you said I'm your sister, and you have not come. You said you love me, and you want me to put on the love brand? He went back to the village, went in the tomb, and got him out. He said he was never going to die. but it's so that I could show you who I am and who I will be for you in your life. So what is it to think that God has not answered you just for a purpose? That makes me mad. You did that just so I can praise you like years later and then testify and tell others? Like, you had me go through all of that just so I can do the work to get healed physically. Pastor Bill was telling me about his recovery from heart surgery and the process that's all of that. And all the maintenance I have to do, I have to work out 5 days a week. What? When this didn't even have to happen, God, you could have gave me a real good heart. Sometimes we don't understand the secret. Sometimes we don't know the whys and the whens and the wheres. But what we do know is that everything is done for the glory of God, so that all men may know him, all may see him, and praise the Father in heaven. I work with death. I work with the illnesses. I work with dying all the time. I work with people in the mental illness hospital who have the schizophrenias and the bipolars, who have Tourette's. I work with the poor, I work with the impoverished, I work with broken marriages, I work with the good marriages. I work with the haughty doctors, I work with the lowly nurses, I work with everybody, every spectrum. And they're all saying, God, who? And then I have to say to them, but what if that God had to take away just so that this can happen? What if this was allowed to be muddled so that a greater glory can happen? And then also, what if God told you not to do that and then you did it anyway? And so it's just natural law and the consequences of our decisions. What if? But what we know is that even though we may not understand why God allows certain things to happen, the command is still love each other. The command is still seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, pray, then you will see a change come. Worship team, we spend so much money for identity. Case right now, well, not even a case, it's whatever. This is Caucasian woman, you know, passing off as African American because this is who she identifies with. Okay, there's so many, then you have Bruce Jenner, now it's Caitlyn Jenner. You have so many issues with identity. Who do I identify with? Where's my identity? What's my brand? How will people know me? We don't need to be worried about any of that. Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Our identity is love. People will know us by our love for each other. We'll get to the neighbor. We will get to the neighbor. Let's strengthen these relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters in this building, outside of this building. They may praise, dance, clap, roll around on the floor speaking in tongues, and they may sit in pews with hats and dresses on. They may do a liturgy clearly different than ours. They're still our brothers and sisters. We believe in the same God. They may have tattoos and piercings and dreads. They may have tennis shoes like me. They may sing hip-hop. They may do whatever, but guess what? They are still our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter the differences. It doesn't matter the similarities. One God, one baptism, one hope. It's how we love each other. Then the world will ask, guaranteed, what must I do to be saved? One identity, is our love for each other. Let us worship the Lord now in a moment of worship and reflection.